She had a chronic illness. She had learned to live with this for well over a decade. It was one of those things that was, oh, you just didn't talk about it. It was really embarrassing for her to talk about it. Because you see, for 12 years, she could not stop menstruating. She had this thing that her body would just do, and she couldn't stop it. And so she did what any of us would do. She exhausted every means possible, trying to figure out what to do. She had emptied her bank account. Her whole life was wrapped around trying to figure out how to be well. And really, she had come to the point where she had almost given up hope. But then she heard that there was this new physician in town. He was a great physician. And she thought, well, maybe he could help me. Maybe he could do something that no one else that I've been to could do. And so she went to where this great physician was. And all she could do was look at him through the crowd because there were so many people. There were so many sick people. So many people that just wanted to get close to this person that she had heard about, that everyone was talking about. And she thought, I could never spend any time with this guy. So maybe if I just get close, maybe if he just looks at me, maybe if I just touch his clothes, something could happen in my life. And so she pushed her way through the crowd, people jarring her on each side to the next and just shoving her away, but she was persistent. And she got close enough to touch just the edge of his coat. And then it happened. This thing that she had been struggling with her entire life, in a moment, was gone. And she felt just shock and amazement. And she began to just, all these emotions going through her, not really knowing how to feel. And then she heard this voice that completely filled her with fear. It said, "Who touched me?" And she thought, well, if I'm just quiet, maybe it'll just be overlooked. And maybe he won't finger me out. And the friends that were with him said, what are you talking about? There's hundreds of people here. There's all kinds of people brushing up against you. What do you mean, who touched you? And he said, no, someone touched me because I felt this healing power leave my body. And she knew that she couldn't go unnoticed. And so scared, trembling, she stepped out into the middle of the crowd. And she fell at his feet, ready to ask for mercy, and looked up into his face. It was the face of Jesus. And he was so kind, so compassionate. His eyes just communicated such love. And she just, with her fumbled words, just said, I'm sorry, I just wanted to get well. I've had this condition my entire life. I've spent my life savings. I don't know what else to do. There's no place else for me to go. And I thought, maybe if I came here that you could help me. And so I touched your garment and it happened. I no longer have this problem. I'm well. And Jesus looked at her and said, awesome. That's what the translation of it is. He said, don't worry. Rejoice. And go in peace, because your faith has made you well. You know, all of us have heard that little song, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. You can sing it. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. You know, that's such simple theology, but it's so powerful and so profound. But what I've discovered in my life is that somehow I know externally that Jesus loves me. I know that he accepts me. I believe it. But, you know, I'm not so sure about the people out there. And I'm not so sure about the people that I'm close to. And so there's these areas of our life where we want everyone to know about us. Usually it's all the good things, right? You want them to know how good looking you are, and you know how everybody thinks you're good looking, and you know, and how awesome you are. And you know, if they don't know how awesome you are, then somehow in a subtle way, with great humility, you'll communicate it, you know? But then there's those things that we hope that nobody finds out about. We hope that if we stay silent about them, that maybe no one will find out about those things that we struggle with deep within our hearts. And maybe nobody will see. But you see, God sees. God sees everything. In fact, it says in Proverbs 15:3 that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. So there's nothing that escapes his eyes. There is nothing that he doesn't know about me. And knowing everything about me, knowing all my frailties, knowing all my faults, knowing the struggles that I have, knowing that I'm going to stumble and fall, knowing the countless times I've fallen in the past, knowing all my deepest and darkest secrets. This is what Jesus says about you and me. He says this in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He tells us in Jeremiah, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Behold, I will bring it health and healing. I will heal them and reveal to them the abundance of peace and truth. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me, and I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all the nations of the earth who shall hear all the good that I do to them. They shall fear and tremble from all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. Thus says the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, and the voice of those who will say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever, and of those who will bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. The song that we sing is the song of the redeemed. The song that we sing is the song of those who have been brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's the song of people who have been set free to love their God. It's our song, the song of redeemed. And finally, he tells us, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And so continually, I'm drawing you with my loving kindness. There's so many preachers that tell us that God's mad at us. So many people that tell us that judgment and doom and all these things, and if we don't measure up, then God isn't going to bless us. And yet, all I see in Scripture is a God of mercy, a God of grace, and a God who forgives and extends over and over and over again. So seeing everything, you know, he says in Hebrews 14 also, 4:13, he says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. He sees it all. And so, since we know that he sees everything, since we know that he understands everything that's going on in our hearts, why not just bring it to him? Why not just come to him with it? Like it says in Hebrews, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I planted my first church when I was 16 with Pastor Chuck and Ivy Eason. I was the worship leader of the church. That church became Calvary Chapel of Vista. And I'd been there for, a few years, maybe 2 or 3 years. And then the Lord called me on to Calvary Chapel of Escondido, where within a year I became the worship leader of the church there as well. And, you know, I was one of these kind of young guys, you know, and just was doing Bible studies, and the Lord was just blessing, and we had a kind of this punk rock band, and we'd travel to different places and, you know, play our music, and the thing we did is you know that song, I Wish We'd All Been Ready by Larry Norman? Some of you that are my age, you'll know that song. Some of the young kids are like, we would do a punk rock version of that song, and then at the end, we'd all fall down like we were raptured, and I remember the first time, you know, being the worship leader of the church, and we had the church picnic, you know, and they're like, hey, Holland, why don't you bring your band? I'm saying, oh, cool. You know, so we brought the band, and we ended with that song, and it was like, they're like, that's our worship leader, you know? And it was so funny, because I remember we did this whole thing. We fell down. We'd all been raptured, and this dead silence. And then you kind of hear this, you know? People just didn't know what to do with it. Well, we never did another thing in our church after that. But we had a lot of fun doing that one. And just everything was going right in my life, you know, except I struggled with things. I struggled with things. And I didn't know how to uncover those struggles. So I kept them to myself. And I just struggled alone. Well, one day, my sin found me out. And so I had to stand in front of the church and I had to publicly confess what I had done. And I had to resign from the ministry. I had to resign from all the Bible studies I was doing. And this life of excitement, this life that I thought, you know, just would never end, just ended in a day because of things that I was too afraid to uncover in my heart. And so, you know, I got married soon after that, and but I wasn't going to church. I just, you know, I felt just so, I just was, didn't feel like God would ever want me or use me or desire to do anything in my life ever again. And so basically what I did for fellowship is I sat, my wife went to church, and, you know, for the first year of our marriage, I sat on the couch, and by the time she got home, I was just fully blitzed out of my mind. It was the only way I could deal with the pain. What a great way to start a marriage, right? And I would just sit there and just, you know, just think about things and, you know, just totally ashamed of myself. And I remember one day I was watching Buck Rogers of the 21st Century. Remember that show? And God spoke to me. He can use anything. And it was this one show where Buck Rogers had this girl was had gotten this whole, you know, look changeover so that she looked like Buck Rogers' wife, you know. And so she was like pretending like she was his wife, you know, and trying to fool her so that they could capture him and kill him, you know. But as she's doing this, she ends up falling in love with Buck Rogers. And at the end of the show, she ends up, you know, when the guy shoots the gun, she steps in front of it and catches the bullet and she dies. And, you know, and in her whole thing, she's just, you know, as she's dying, she just says, you know, all I want to know is just, did I remind you just a little bit of your wife? She just had wanted so much to exchange her identity to be this person that was loved by this person. And I just watched that and I thought, Lord, why can't I just be myself? Why do I have to have this thing that I do at church? And why do I have to have this thing, these things that are inside of me? And why can't I just have this freedom just to be who I am? And why can't I just put it all aside? And I was in the shower, don't picture it, but I was in there and you pictured it. I told you not to do that. Gosh. And anyhow, I was just sitting there and I was praying and just thinking about all these things. And I heard, and it only has happened a couple times in my life. And if it wasn't an audible voice of God, it sure was loud enough to be. And I just heard him tell me the same thing he told me when he called me into relationship with him the very first time. He said, Holland, I love you. And he said, I knew when I called you that you would fail. He said, I knew when I called you that you would take all the things that I'd given you and you would use them for your own selfish end. He goes, but I called you because I loved you. And my love for you hasn't changed. And it just completely undid me. I was just a mess. Roxy heard this crash in the shower. I was on the ground just bawling my eyes out, and she walked in and she was all, you know, what happened to you? Did you hurt yourself? I said, no, God, talk to me right now, you know. And she said, oh, good. And she went, you know, and she went and went back to cooking dinner, you know. Sensitive to the Spirit of God, lady that she is. And that began a process in my life where God began to draw me back to him. And so I remember going to church the first time after a couple of years. And I just felt filthy being there. I just stood in the back of the church and I just said, Lord, I just don't feel like being here. I don't feel like worshiping you. I just don't feel like anything. And so I just want to sit here. And the Lord said, that's fine. I'll take it. And so I'd been going about a month. And then I thought, well, Lord, I still don't feel that great, but maybe is it okay if I just sing some of the songs? I'm not going to lift my hands. I'm just going to sing some songs to you. And I would sit in the back of the church, and I would just start singing these songs. And the Lord would say to me, that's great. I'll take it. And over a period of several months, he just began to communicate over and over again to me how much he loved me. And so I would come and I would just say, Lord, I feel like raising my hands a little bit, but I'm not going to do it a lot. And, you know, and I remember having these conversations in my brain. Some of you probably think I'm crazy, but you've had them in your brain, you know. And I would just sit there and I would just say, Lord, I just don't think I belong here. And the Lord would tell me, you belong to me. And he began to draw me back to himself. And I remember one time I was, you know, the drummer went away, so I asked the pastor, I said, you know, can I play drums? And he said, sure, why not? And so I started playing drums on the worship team. And then after about a few months of doing that, he goes, you know, when you would lead worship, people would just worship the Lord. And so I want you to start leading worship again. And so I remember the first time I put the guitar on in front of a congregation. And God just beamed over me with such joy. And I just felt just so much happiness. And God began to restore me back into ministry. And from that just began a period of just over and different circumstances, just fully restoring me back to doing what he made me to do to begin with. And all along the way, I would just come to him with the same thing. Lord, I just don't feel like I got the right kind of love, or I don't feel like my love is enough for you, or just that you'd like it. It's tainted. It's not perfect. And he would tell me, it's all I want is the love that you have. I don't want the love that you wish you had. I just want the love that you have. And it was good enough for him. And he began to restore me. He began to uncover those things in my heart that had held me captive for so long. And he began to do a deep work of cleansing in me, so that when he restored me, it would be a joy in my life to serve him. And it would be a joy and a testimony to all the people that had seen me step down from ministry and then see me step back into ministry. Not because I pursued it, not because I tried to force it to happen, not because I thought, well, enough time has gone past, now you got to use me again. But really, really because he just loved me. And that's what he made me for, to love him back. He didn't forget about me. There was a professor of theology in the 1800s. His name was James Martineau. He went to Cambridge and Westminster Seminary, and then upon graduation, felt the call to come to the United States and to take a position. I forget which university, if it was Princeton or Yale. But right before he left, his two-year-old daughter became critically ill, and she didn't recover. She died, and they buried her in Westminster Abbey. And then saddened but committed to the call of God in their life, he brought his young bride, stepped on a boat, and came to America and became a very well-known theologian in his day. Wrote books and taught all over the place. Became so well-known that they decided that they were going to have a week of celebration, of festivities called James Martineau Week. And that they were going to host it in the UK, in London, at Westminster. And that they were going to invite all the contemporaries, all his friends. And basically, they would have the whole week to, you know, give lectures and talk about, you know, his ideas and that sort of thing. And then the week was to culminate by Dr. James Martineau getting up and giving the final lecture. And it had been literally, I think, 50 years since he had been back in England. And a lot had transpired during that time in his life. And he had other kids that had come and grew, you know, had great kids, great family, awesome ministry. It came to the final day when he was to give his speech, and it was outside, it was raining outside, it was a cold, damp, you know, England day, and if you've ever been there, it's kind of like every day over there. But they couldn't find him. And they went looking for him all over the place, and he was nowhere to be found. And finally, his wife thought, I know where he is. And she found him in Westminster Abbey, standing over his daughter's grave, tears running down his cheeks. You see, they had been separated by years, a lifetime of years. They had been separated by thousands of miles. But you see, a father's love never forgets his children. And a father's love will never forget you. He loves you. And that was the message that God wanted me to tell you guys tonight. His love for you is from everlasting to everlasting. You can't outlive his love for you. We used to play this game called hide and seek. You remember that game? Did you ever play that game? Go like this. You all played that game. And you remember what you did at the end of the game when you wanted everybody to come back? What would you do? What would you say? Ollie, ollie, income free. And it was time for all the people that were in hiding to come out of hiding and to be found. And tonight, God is saying, ollie, ollie, income free. Come out of hiding. Those things that you've been struggling with in your heart, come to him with them. Bring them to the cross of Jesus Christ where they can be forever dealt with. That pain that's in your life, those sins that were done to you, those sins that you've done, all of those things are met. All of those needs are completely met at the cross of Jesus. That's the place where we find forgiveness. That's the place where we find healing. That's the place where we find cleansing for our souls, where the sins that have been done to us and the effects of those sins on our lives can be completely washed away. And when it says that we are new creatures, it's the truth, because we are made completely new, metamorphosized, which means we're not even looking the same. We don't sound the same, completely different. That's who you are. And that's who God desires us to walk up, rise up and walk in, that truth. Because those are the people that really know what it means to worship God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because they've discovered the one who gave everything for them. And so they give everything back. And as it says in Jeremiah, we can say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. 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 It's a long time, forever. 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 His mercy endures. Let's pray. Father, your love for us is eternal. Your love for us goes beyond anything we could ever do. Lord, and if we run to the ends of the earth, Lord, you're there waiting for us. And so, Lord, we want to be found by you tonight. Lord, we want to be found out. The things that are going on in our lives, the things that are going on in our hearts, Lord, we want to be found by you. And so, Lord, we bring them to you tonight. Lord, would you come and just wash away memories, Lord? Lord, would you come and wash away, Lord, guilt and shame? Would you come, Lord, and break the power of sin and bondage in our lives, Lord? Those things that so easily beset us, those weights that are upon our lives, our hearts, Lord, would you lift them off of us, God? And Lord, in your great mercy, fill us with that song of deliverance, that song of the redeemed, that says, the Lord is good, his mercy endures forever. Would you touch our hearts, Lord? And I want to let you know right now, this is a safe place. This is a safe place for you and for me, for us. This is a place where you can confess to God those things that are on your heart. And his mercy's here. His forgiveness is here. He's here to extend his arms of love to you. And so, if you're one of those tonight that would need prayer, that God has brought things up in your life tonight, and you would just love to lay them at his feet, I just want to invite you to stand where you're at right now. Just stand up right where you're at. This is not a time to be afraid, because your Father loves you. You don't have to be afraid of him, because he's not going to hurt you. He's not going to rat on you. He's not going to take you out of service. He's going to heal you so that you can be effective in loving him, serving him. Don't let this moment pass. I think there's more. It's all right. Lord, you see the hearts of every person here. Lord, you know what we're thinking, Lord. You know what things are struggling within our hearts, Lord. You know us. And so, Lord, we call upon you to come, just set us free, Lord. Set us free, Father. Wash us, cleanse us, Lord. For each person here, Lord, that you would bring forgiveness, Lord, that you would bring cleansing, Father. Lord, that you would wash away the stain, the stigma, Lord, that is upon their hearts, Lord, and their minds, Lord. Lord, the guilt that they've been under, Lord, that you would lift that heavy weight, Lord, that compulsion to do things that aren't pleasing to you, Lord, that you would take that away, Lord. and replace it with a hunger and a passion for you. Lord, we just lay it at your feet. We lay it at your feet, Lord. Like the women pushing through the crowd, Lord, we're just pushing through. We're just pushing through, Lord. Because just one touch from you, Lord, is all it takes. My loving kindness from everlasting to everlasting, I have loved you. I have loved you. Do not fear, and I will not cast you away. Do not fear, for I am here to rescue you. Do not fear, but come to me. Come to me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your work, Lord. Thank you for your kindness, Lord, your goodness, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You are the God who sees my deepest hurt, my every need. You are the God who hears the cry of my heart. You see every tear. You are the God of mercy and grace, compassion, forgiveness, and peace in the secret place of my heart. You are the God who sees.